This is Leo Babiew for KTWH Two Harbors Community Radio. And this mid-January, we're already a couple of weeks out from when the Two Harbors Planning Commission meeting of Tuesday, January 3rd, held a public hearing on a concept of a proposed plan unit development on Lighthouse Point. I'll call it the Lighthouse Road Townhome Project. And I'm able to bring you some insight and news on that by talking today with Justin Otze, who's at least a halftime, and I know you've done planning work for the City of Two Harbors for some time in different iterations, Justin, and you work through contract between the city and Arrowhead Regional Development Commission. Do I have that somewhat correct?
Yeah, good afternoon, Leo. Yes. That is correct. I'd been the planner on retainer for about 4.5 or 5 years or so. You know, in the past, prior to the city hiring a full-time planner, and then we helped out. We had a kind of a separate project where we were updating the zoning code. So it kind of carried me through 2020, and then, you know, just kind of getting back going in the last 5 or 6 months now in a similar capacity.
Excellent. Well, Justin, I've invited you on today because it's not going to be an easy learning curve for any of us, but there's been a lot of history on Lighthouse Point, which is a pretty special section of one-of-a-kind lakeshore right here in Two Harbors on Lake Superior that has been at the crossroads of a lot of public concern back over 2 decades ago with the sale of railroad land to Sam Cave and a settlement that came out of that. And people probably have lost track of some of the facts that came out of that settlement memorandum that goes back to 2006 now. So this is like going on over 16 years. There's a lot of that that may be difficult even for you to know much about in your capacity, having been on retainer for like 4 to 5 years. But if people want to get a starting point for learning about this concept plan for Lighthouse Road development, the Two Harbors Cable television site at the city website has the complete proceedings on video from that planning commission hearing. And I wanted to get your background on how this project came to be in front of the planning commission. Is this something that's come to your attention as the planner just in the last year or so? And could you explain a little bit about where it stands right now after having had this first hearing as a concept plan, which is, I guess, one of 3 phases that it'll take to get a project all the way to fruition?
Yeah, Leo, I'd be happy to. You're absolutely right. It's an incredibly special and unique area and space. Well, I wasn't around in 2006 for a lot of those agreements. I know some of the staff at ARDC was, and I've certainly heard stories about some really full public hearings back in the day. You know, and so similarly, we're here today. Yeah, it was something that just kind of, we were approached by the developer group. And as I started back going with the city last, I think, October-ish, if memory serves, we, as you kind of alluded to, we have sort of changed our planned unit development process into a three-phase components. First, well, it's almost 4, really. Now I don't know if we actually require it, but it's heavily encouraged to have just a sit-down with the developer and city staff just to have a meeting and sort of talk about, you know, options and maybe things that'll happen. And we were able to have that conversation in the past, and you know, based on those discussions, you know, the city or the development group who has gotten a authority from the property owner to make this application on their behalf was able to, you know, get that information and submit one as is their right to develop the property. So we're at this concept plan stage that I alluded to before. It's kind of 3 pieces. So we have the concept plan now, preliminary plan, and a final plan. When it comes to the PUD, our planned unit development. But in the past, it was just preliminary and final. And so we would go through a lot more extensive research for that preliminary process. Things like how the utilities connect, real detailed analysis of the stormwater, you know, certainly a legal analysis of maybe any other things that might pertain, you know, deeds or other things that might, you know, be attached to the land properly. And those restrictions, just among other things that you'd kind of really get to dive deep. The concept plan we introduced in the new zoning code as a way to allow a developer to maybe come with an idea for a property. And it doesn't, you know, certainly there's a lot of attention to Lighthouse Point, but it can be a lot of different properties in town, essentially looking for a little bit smarter design. A planned unit development can allow basically some flexibility when it comes to the more traditional design. You know, one of the things that certainly happens in this project, but in many, is, you know, say you have a lot that has a lot of wetlands, And that would really put a lot of obstacles for development in a traditional sense. But if you have a PUD or a planned unit development, you could kind of be a little more flexible with, say, things like setbacks or minimum lot sizes in order to still achieve something that the city has deemed as desirable, like, say, a housing development, to kind of have some more smart design around those wetlands so that it kind of doesn't inhibit the developer, the cost prohibitive impacts there, as well as just like still allows the city and the developer to kind of find a goal. One of the other things that happens in the PUD process that can happen is something called bonus density. So, you know, you go, the density is set by the underlying zoning, and say, I know that's based on the minimum lot area that would be required per lot, but you are able to achieve a little, or we're allowed to award up to 30% more of that density if the developer does certain things that the city deems as a benefit. Now, that can be things like open space, maybe a new big part of a park that is open to the public as a part of that development, or, you know, a trail connection that didn't exist before. Other things like utilities or efficient, energy efficient utilities and affordable housing are identified as options of those things that we would, you know, want to award more density to the developer if possible. So it kind of gives us, it's basically a tool in the planner's toolkit to kind of be a little more flexible with design in order to still hope to reach a goal that both the city and developer are happy with and want to move forward on with the project.
Well, I just want to check in with you and say I appreciate your explanation of what the many wrinkles of a planned unit development could be. I think maybe we want to situate people as to exactly what lot we're referring to here so people can envision it a little bit, Justin. But a question arises about whether a planned unit development concept is one that savvy developers might want to choose to use when they want to build more units than the existing planning would allow. But it occurs to me that sometimes the city might have an amenity in mind. I mean, in the case of this, these developers came to you, right? The city wasn't putting it out that they wanted to have somebody doing a planned unit development on this acreage.
No, that is correct. You know, the developer, I guess, was in touch, as far as I know, or in touch with the owner of the property. The owner of the property had signed documentation that gave them the ability to apply on behalf and be able to develop it if they are indeed awarded an approved PUD.
Okay.
And
that owner's right to an ability to do this is somewhat contingent on the terms, we think, of a memorandum of understanding that goes back these 16, 17 years?
Back to the, yeah. Yep. Yes, that's our understanding. Okay. And, you know, it got a little lost in the shuffle here, I think, you know, because it's been a little while. There's been some turnover at the city leadership as well, but we're in the process right now of diving into, because there was a lot of things that were identified in that agreement. Not all of them happened.
Right.
And so just how that agreement plays into any future development is something that our legal staff is currently reviewing. And,
okay.
And before any kind of vote from the city council, even on this concept plan level, you know, it's at least staff's recommendation, and I don't expect it to go otherwise to have that answer, you know, that question answered prior to any sort of vote.
So we're talking about actually our city attorney doing a full legal interpretation of where the situation is.
That is correct, yes.
Okay, great. Could we situate exactly, it's an approximately just under 5 or right up to 5 acre lot of an unusual, it's not a standard square block of land, it's a irregular beyond trapezoidal shape lot.
Right. Yeah, which, you know, again, similarly, another reason to maybe pursue PUD, but yes, it's about 5 acres. I know there's been some we even heard at the public hearing, conflicting numbers for the size. I know on the Lake County records, they show it was like 4.67, if I remember right. But on the certificate of survey that we received as part of the application materials, they had that over 5 acre lot situated just south of the wastewater treatment plant as you kind of go out to the boat launch there.
Right. So there's, it looks like a southwest facing long straight boundary of this lot that is kind of parallel to where the Lighthouse Point Road comes into the public access area. And
correct.
And as I understand it, there's also a factor of the existing trail that cuts across and runs near the sewage treatment plant would be actually imposed on by some of this property line. I don't know how the trail is on this property right now, whether it's legally situated technically or not. But anyway, there's an impact on the trail as well as it being quite close on the north end to our wastewater treatment facility.
Absolutely. And you're correct. The trail, that's another sort of legal aspect that would be something that we need to pursue a little bit at that preliminary plan level, because the trail as it sits right now is on that private property. Now, I'm not certain, or it didn't come to fruition at the planning commission meeting, whether that is, entailed an easement or is just something that has been allowed. Certainly a critical connection, and the staff sees it that way.
Yeah.
Any sort of development, I would certainly have only a recommendation to keep that trail in some aspect. And that sort of gets back to sort of that give take that we're talking about before in the PUD.
Yeah. For those of us who seemingly are familiar with Lighthouse Point, but we're not exactly sure when we've been on this exact property, I assume that this has been in common public use. This property is not fenced off in any way right now, correct?
It's not. If you look around, at least even off of the paved bike trail that's on that property, you can see a few little lines into the woods. It's some deer trails that I'm sure aren't only used by the local deer.
Well, I'm afraid I've walked them myself. I'm sure I've been trespassing.
Yeah, I'm sure of it. And so, yeah, it's, just the recreational nature of the area. And that's, something that I think cities certainly, it's not lost on a city. And those connections, as much as we can keep them, is something that we want to make sure to preserve.
I want to remind folks who are just joining us today, we're visiting with Justin Otze, who's planning for the city of Two Harbors, working on this newly unveiled concept plan for planned unit development on 5 acres on Lighthouse Point. And what came out, what is the gist, Justin, of what came out of the Planning Commission meeting on January 3rd? Did a number of specific recommendations arise? Did those get recorded, documented, and passed on to the City Council? Or how would you characterize what the product of that hearing was?
They will. And I kind of spiraled off of your original question on the three phases of PUD. I sort of went off on just explaining what a PUD is to begin with.
This is a really valuable concern for people to have it in their minds that the city council really has to weigh in and approve a planned unit development and say, not only is it good for the developer, but we really see the amenity that comes out of this as being a significant benefit of the city to justify that PUD.
Correct. That's absolutely correct.
At this point, how does the developer characterize the singular or a couple of three amenities, public benefits that they plan to incorporate in their build?
And some of that we haven't got to the total level of detail. Some of the original things that were proposed in the application, at least, were preserving the trail connection. I think they showed a little bit of a change of alignment, but that was one of the things that the Planning Commission kind of pushed back on a little bit, just because it kind of got pushed to the property line, and that's, could be difficult for maintenance purposes and, other things. So the preservation of the pedestrian trail, I know there's some talk of, and we haven't seen an entire level of detail, they kind of have a proposed commercial open space on would be similarly that southwest corner, kind of getting closer to the lighthouse there. I haven't seen exactly what that proposal is, but there's been discussion about sort of an open space that'd be open to the public. The developer at the public hearing, I recall, one of the things that got brought up with the DNR being there is, they've had such high demand for their public restrooms. They bring those porta-johns each season out, and I think are even bringing some more just because of how often they're getting used. And the idea of a public restroom, with flush toilets or something like that, was brought up at the public hearing, and the developers seem like they might be open to something like that.
Sure.
So those are some of the, just kind of the beginning of some of the ideas of, yes, we're seeing some trade-offs and flexibility when it comes to the traditional zoning standards, or, we haven't got to it yet, similarly, but there's some requests for tax increment financing and other potential financial assistance. For those to happen, the city has to deem the proposed use or these upcoming projects as something valuable to them, too.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of the public-private partnership that we're seeking. And the concept plan is sort of just the beginning phases of that.
Okay.
And maybe now I can kind of touch on those three phases.
Yes, please do.
as I was kind of getting into before, we have three phases now. This concept plan allows the developer to not incur large costs that would come with digging into the soil, finding out all of the utility work, some of the legal items that I mentioned. A lot of upfront costs that would almost negate any sort of development was the goal of the concept plan, is to sort of have some of those conversations of elements of a proposed project a little bit beforehand, in order for both the developer and the city to kind of both, here's what we're thinking about, and then the city can say, okay, well, this is sort of, you know, based on the planning commission or public hearing input, based on what we're hearing from you, this is sort of how we feel about some of these items. And it kind of just sets the stage to sort of begin to that deep dive. So to your question about what happened at the, you know, from the recommendation standpoint, the planning commission meeting, this will be one of three public hearings. One happens at each level of this PUD process, the concept plan, the preliminary plan, and the final. And so the planning commission at the meeting, after taking in public input and hearing from the developer and certainly having discussion and their own questions, recommended approval of the concept plan with a few changes. You know, one of them I mentioned, the trail alignment, and it also sort of separated a connection across Lighthouse Point Road to the rest of the trail system. You know, so we wanted to ensure that stays preserved and kind of keep that alignment back in place. You know, another one was just, it felt a little too dense. And I think even the developer even had a little bit of that feeling going into the meeting, because they had a separate layout. I hadn't seen it, but it sounded like they had one at the meeting that had a few less units. They still haven't submitted it, but that was something that wasn't lost on them, that maybe this is a little too much, as well as just kind of needing some more detail around some of the open space and the commercial unit. You know, they had proposed a commercial space at the other corner of the property, and that's still something that I think they're working out a little bit. We haven't gotten a ton of details outside of just the amount of space on the lot that they're designating. But those are all things that the commission made an approval recommendation for this concept plan with the recommendation of those things being changed as we move into this next phase of the process. Yeah, that recommendation then goes to city council along, you know, I'll similarly kind of add to my staff report maybe some of the things we heard from public comment, as well as the official recommendation from the planning commission. And I should caveat, all of that recommendation was kind of blanketed with the Sam Cave agreement and how that fits into everything. We need to get to the bottom of that before anybody makes any kind of approval at all. That's what that recommendation is.
Okay.
You know, we might not get to the council meeting this Monday as we hoped for, just because that legal review is still happening. I'll have more knowledge on that here later this week. Yeah, that's kind of where we're at currently.
So as you see it, it really behoove everyone to have that legal investigation and opinion figured out before the council takes it up. So if it's not done in time, it wouldn't be able to come before the council until after
right.
That's done.
After the 24th. Yeah. I mean, it's such a significant part of it that we need to have a clear and definite answer. One another thing with the concept plan, you know, we're doing kind of a slimmer review. When it comes to the preliminary plan process, you know, that fee schedule also brings a large escrow fee that pays for the city's time to get into,
sure,
you know, the deep end of some of these things. So that's sort of why it's set up that way.
Yeah. Speaking of time, I don't want to eat away your first day back at work in a while, Justin, too long. Speaking to Justin Otzi, Two Harbors City Planner, and I did want to dig down a little bit. I'm not trying to put anybody in the spot, but if the Planning Commission only gets one bite of the apple during the, you know, with the concept plan, it sounds like they're recommending it to go on to the next phase, suggests that they find there's enough there in terms of an amenity with this commercial space to make it worthy of a PUD distinction, because it'll be treated differently and have higher density. I mean, getting the PUD to move forward is a pretty major benefit to the developer, because I don't know how much existing zoning would have allowed in this. Can you contrast what would have been allowed in the existing zoning versus what might be allowed in a PUD in terms of density of the structures?
Sure. When it came to the existing zoning, traditionally, without any PUD, you'd be able to go up to 21 units.
Okay.
And that's including the commercial space still there, because that doesn't get included in that calculation. You kind of pull that out and you just go based on what the residential space that's getting developed, would those minimum lot areas be, and that would still result in 21.
And just to double check, though, because these are like units that have two side-by-side residential units in each, would 21 be an odd number? I mean, it'd either have to be 20 or 22, or would they build a single?
I, It would probably, based on that, it would probably be, I would guess, they would just go to an even number.
Yeah, okay. You know, again, I'm not trying to be technical.
Up to the developer. Right, no, totally. But just so you know, yes, and that factors in, though, right? I mean, it's townhomes or two-unit family homes are an allowable use in the mixed-use waterfront underlying zone district, and so that allows kind of that a little more density. But yeah, so I think they were proposing an even number that they got to with that 30% bonus density that was available to them as approved. But then they're even talking about slimming that down. I think I heard the number be about 24 last night, at the Planning Commission meeting.
Okay.
But again, I didn't see that new layout that they mentioned they had, and they haven't submitted it formally at all at this point.
So just to clarify, from a higher number of 28 or 14 side-by-sides down to 24, which would be 12 side-by-side units.
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
And it's all in a 5-acre plot, so it does seem, to the casual observer, it seems fairly dense to me, but then again, the zoning already allowed for up to 21, so that is not that big a variation. I guess what I'm also concerned about is the fit with the location, and I know height is an important factor. Now, height isn't subject to being changed in a planned unit development, is it? The height requirements?
It could be, but I think, but staff recognizes, and I think, again, this is where that cave agreement might play in, but also some, you know, the underlying zoning and even the mixed-use waterfront specifically calls a lot of different factors that would need to be considered when it came to any sort of height increase. In a regular or in every other zoning district in the city code, it would be on the table, I guess, where this one specifically, it calls out for height itself kind of three different points that need to be addressed directly if the developer was to ask for a height variance.
Great.
For that. There's just a little bit higher threshold, if that makes sense, to kind of, if they even went with that ask. And that was too, one of the, just kind of reminded me, I didn't have the report in front of me right now, but one of the other items at the Planning Commission meeting was that the height was coming in a little high based on our definition compared to what was submitted. And so that too is something that 35 feet is capped in. And I think if I remember correctly, the cave agreement identifies a specific elevation even that kind of caps that as well, because, you know, recognizing the space and how big of a change it could be.
Thank you for that clarification on height, and that's something that everyone will probably want to follow. I think a lot of people are thinking about looking at the lighthouse versus these structures and whether there'll be a scale issue. Yeah,
and that's something the Lake County Historical Society formally, you know, submitted a comment on as part of the public hearing, and will be included as part of the report as we move ahead.
Justin, to be a stickler, because I don't get to be that very often, and I'm not, it's actually the Planning Commission's job, not yours, that I'm really commenting on, which is, so it's been passed on as a recommendation to proceed to the next phase, the preliminary plan, by the Planning Commission, but they did not weigh in on needing any more in the way of specifics substantively about what the amenities that would come in this commercial space. I mean, we could see it being as simple as a seasonal coffee bar with a picnic table versus a sit-down restaurant versus any number of scenarios. So we haven't weighed in at all back to the developer as to what would be satisfactory for a public amenity.
You know, if you go back, there is some discussion around it at the public hearing process, just kind of conversation back and forth between the commission and the developer. But no, you're right. As of now, we don't have that. And I think that sort of is because we're at this concept plan level. It's a very 50,000 foot view of, you know, things like density and use.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, and before we really get into if they were to design a building for a commercial space, for example, they'd probably want input from a specific vendor. You know, I think they propose that they would rent it out, or it would be kind of a separate commercial venture. But, you know, that comes with design and kind of a whole nother level of stuff that at this point, they did make that recommendation that with some changes that they were okay to move into the preliminary plan phase.
All right.
And again, I kind of, yeah, you know, we have the concept plan, then say that does get approved, we would move into this preliminary plan process. The developer would have one calendar year to submit a preliminary plan, and that would be, again, subject to a lot more scrutinous review. And again, another public hearing would be held by the Planning Commission to gain input on that next level of proposal, as well as in the final, once we get to that level, if we did, just kind of go with me here to describe it. If we got to the final, that too would be another public hearing at the Planning Commission level, a recommendation, and a final vote from the City Council. So we have a few layers of process left here.
So more or less what you're saying is addressing my concern that, you know, the developer needs to put something forth that's substantive, that there are two other phases and plenty of time for us to weigh in as to whether they're coming forward with enough benefit to justify the PUD treatment that they're asking for.
Absolutely. And you know, a big driver of that will be economics, too. Once they get kind of a concept plan, say it's a certain amount of units and commercial space or some of these other things, then you can really die. There is that ask about tax increment financing and some other public financing. That's when we can really start getting into the brass tacks of what those costs could be and how viable the project is. Something that maybe at the concept plan level, you're just not able to get to that level of detail yet. So, yeah, a lot of layers left.
Yeah,
here.
So fair to say that anyone that thought that this was going to be a done deal in 2 months while they were out of town before they could address it with their local public officials, it's not likely that the ball is going to roll that fast down the hill.
Right. We, you know, we, as part of the process, we just ask, you know, information that we're asking for the applicant from is, hey, what's your timeline? What would you like to see happen? And so that April, May, I think that was submitted. It's great for us to know as the city what they, you know, when would they be ready or what their timeline for development would be. But just based on the process, especially since we have this third kind of layer, which is, you know, this is the first time I believe that the city of Two Harbors has actually gone through the kind of the PUD with the concept plan phase in place.
Okay.
So I think maybe there's a little bit of a learning curve happening there too. We're really on the front end and just allows, you know, a developer to get a thumbs up or thumbs down. Is this something that we should pursue more of at any level or not? And so that's kind of built in to be just another kind of layer, if you will, to protect the city, because we do have a lot of stuff to get into and also try to encourage at least getting these proposals, because, you know, at this concept level, it's not as quite as cost intensive as it would be at the preliminary level, just based on the fee schedule for us and some of, you know, what would be required. There's a whole other chapter essentially or subparagraph that outlines all of these different additional informations that will be required as part of the preliminary, where the concept is intentionally a little bit more minimal.
So when it comes to the staging and time schedule of this project that we're talking about, the Lighthouse Road townhomes, the builders can have a wish list of a perfect world timeline, but it doesn't compel the city. I mean, the city doesn't sit on its hands, but it doesn't have any obligation to make things happen as quickly as the developer would like.
Correct. We are in no, there's no formal agreement that's the timeline we're on by any means. It's again something that we ask them to provide us so that we know kind of what they have in mind. Yeah, if you just look at what it would take kind of to get to, you know, two public hearings, you know, April's only three planning commission meetings away.
Right.
So that might be just a tight squeeze for exactly how it was proposed there, because there are a lot of details that we would need to iron out, especially when it comes to the economics and legal factors.
Yeah, and we didn't even touch
still a ways away. And to your point, folks who might have felt like a little caught off guard or that, you know, this is the last, the ship has already sailed on it. We're not there yet.
Great. Then there's a whole nother layer of financing and tax increment stuff that I barely understand anyway, Justin, but we can save that for down the road as this project continues to unfold in its discussion in the public discourse. So thanks for joining us today to at least get a heads up on where we stand at the moment.
Yeah, happy to help. And you're right. There's a lot more down the road of stuff that we'll have to get to the bottom of as part of any recommendation and formal approval. So as this process or other ones move forward, I'm happy to take a little bit of time and hopefully give a little more understanding for folks who might not be able to make a public hearing or reach out. Thanks again for having me, Leo.
Absolutely. Thank you, Justin. We'll probably be talking to you again on this project. We'll be paying attention, and hopefully if there's news and substantive updates, we'll get to visit with you on the radio again.
Absolutely. That sounds terrific.
Thank you. You take care.
Yeah, thanks. You as well.
Bye now.
Bye.
Justin Otze, Two Harbors City Planner on retainer. He also works for the Arrowhead Regional Development Commission, and we thank Justin for his time in this already busy new year. This is Leo for KTWH.